welcome to the Delling Pod with me, James Delling Pod. And I know I always say I'm excited about this week's special guest, but look who I've got. He has been massively requested by so many of my viewers and listeners. It is none other than Gerald Celente. Welcome to the show, Gerald.
Well, thanks for having me on, James.
No, it's really exciting. I was asking, I've got this Telegram channel where I you know, say all the things you can't say on Twitter anymore or anywhere else. And I said to my followers, my sharklings, as I call them, what should I ask Gerald Celente? And I have to say the best one was, what the fuck is going on? So can you tell me what the fuck is going on, Gerald? Because it's baffling me.
No, I can't. What's going on now is unprecedented in world history. You know, they found a skull recently. What was it, 36,000 years old? And it wasn't one of these Neanderthals. It was a large human skull.
Yeah.
In other words, we don't have a clue of what life was, where it was, and how it got here. I know. It all began when Moses came down with the Ten Commandments. You know, yeah, all right, take it easy. You know, one of the people that I used to write with, may rest in peace, John Anthony West. He wrote a book, did a big TV show on it as one time as well. The Mystery of the Sphinx. The Sphinx is at least 10,000 years older than they're saying that it is. Because when you look at the base of the Sphinx, the erosion is from water damage. So it predated the Sahara Desert. I'm mentioning this because we don't have a clue. There are other books, you know, The Shifting of the Earth. You know, they found woolly mammoths up in Antarctica, you know. We don't have a clue. There are more galaxies than grains of sand. Something is very, very big is going on. I could use the word demonic to describe it, but I don't know how it happened, why it happened, and what is behind it. However, I will give you my analysis. I used to be on Hong Kong TV in 2019 when the demonstrations broke out. I was on a lot. And, you know, like, you know, we're on the air before we go on the air, we BS a little bit, you know, take a break. And I'm talking to the reporters. They says, look, what's going on with you guys? Mr. Celente, we're not going to stop. We're not going to let the Chinese take over. We're not going to stop these protests. 7.5 million people in Hong Kong, 7.5 million. A million were taking to the streets, a million in the United States. You can't get a million people to protest out of 332 million. I was at a protest rally in New York City in Columbus Circle, right in Midtown, about the mandates that this little shithead, this little scumbag, Bill de Blasio, the mayor, mandated. His real name, by the way, is Warren Wilhelm Jr. The little piece of crap took the de Blasio name so he'd get the Italian-American vote. Anyway, about 3,000 people showed up. They had a rally in New York City in 1982 against nuclear armaments. About a million people showed up. A million people showed up in Hong Kong to protest it. They wouldn't stop the fight. The Chinese couldn't stop it. Then all of a sudden, January 2020, Chinese Lunar New Year, I'm not making this up, these are the facts, the year of the rat. The virus breaks out in the city of Yuan, and they're showing people walking down the street and dying, right? The headline of our magazine, the Trends Journal, on January 28th, coronavirus, 106 dead in China. The next line was 1.4 billion still alive. What the hell are you telling me 106 people died for? Then they closed down Yuan. They closed down a couple of cities and they closed down Hong Kong. Finito. Over. Finished. Put in the security law. Protests are over. You don't hear anything about Hong Kong anymore. Go back to our, we do our top trends for the new year. We do them in December. They come out, you know, for the next year. In December 2020, one of our top trends was New World Disorder. There were protests and uprisings going on around the world in 2019. Colombia, Peru, Chile, South Africa, India, Algeria, Lebanon, France, Hong Kong. One country after another. People taking to the streets, protesting the lack of basic living standards, government corruption, violence, crime. They couldn't stop these protests. They were going on week after week, day after day. Look, virus comes out, you're locked down, no protesting. People forget how bad things were going economically in 2019. Go back to the United States, the Federal Reserve. What Federal Reserve? A criminal banking system. Nothing federal about it. Lousy scumbag, thieving bitches and bastards. You gotta be equal. That Amen. Made up this crap with that guy, Woodrow Wilson, a murderous president back in 1913, the murderous guy that got us into World War I, brought in the Federal Reserve, also gave us income taxes. They were dumping in between September 2019 and January 2020, $7 trillion into the repo markets. That's how bad the equity markets were going. They had to artificially prop them up. Germany was a fraction of a percentage away from going into recession in 2019. India had seven consecutive quarters of declining GDP before all this happened. Then the governments took complete control of the people in a country near you. This is unprecedented in world history.
Yeah.
I read a thing called, you may even get banned for me reading this. It was called the Declaration of Independence. We hold these truths to be self-evident, that all men are created equal, that they are endowed by their creator with certain unalienable rights. Among them are life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. Liberty? Who the hell are you to have liberty? I'm your little piece of shit. President, prime minister, premier, governor, mayor, any piece of political crap, I'll tell you what to do. Shove that liberty up your ass. Happiness? Screw you. What happiness? Put that mask on, you little kid. Get back in your room, you college students. No dancing. You got little shitheads like the Oregon Health Authority saying it's okay now to have a sexual relationship. And don't forget, when you're jerking off, sanitize your hands. All right?
Yeah.
You can't make this shit up.
You can't.
What's going on? Life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. Another important element of what used to be called the Declaration of Independence. That to secure these rights, governments are instituted among men, deriving their just powers from the consent of the governed. From the consent of the governed. Screw you, Salenti. shove that Declaration of Independence up your ass, along with the Constitution and the Bill of Rights. We're in charge. I'm a little piece of arrogant shit, like little Gruesome Newsom, witless Whitney out of Michigan, another Dopey DeWine out of Ohio. Look at what's going on in Australia. Name the country. Boris Johnson. How could you look up to a piece of shit like that dopey little bastard? It's a freak show in front of everybody's eyes, and the freaks are running the show.
Yeah.
The freaks are in charge. One country after another.
Yeah.
Where are the people? Where's the fight? Where's the dignity? And I get, oh, Salenti, calm down and stop using profanity. Screw you. When you tell somebody to fuck off, had enough of your shit, that is proper language in that kind of situation. So don't, I'm not in the third grade. You got to speak proper like Barack Obama, how everybody loved him. Folks, as he's bombing the hell out of Libya, the richest country in Africa, where people had more rights and education than many parts of the world. But I want that guy Gaddafi out of there. You have to do it proper. When you're murdering people all over the world and listening to stupid sons of bitches like George W. Bush or Tony Blair or Sarkozy or one little piece of garbage crap destroying people's lives, and the people lost their fight.
Yeah. But could you see this coming when you started out as a futurologist? I mean,
Oh, yeah. We were the first magazine to call it out. And we said they called it the COVID war. And I wrote, just as the people were dumb enough to believe Bush's wars, they were dumb enough to believe the COVID war.
Yeah.
Just as they marched off to Mussolini, saluted Stalin and hailed Hitler, they're marching off to the COVID war. 88% of the Americans believe that stupid son of a bitch, George W. Bush, the Afghan war. I was banned on all the media. I used to be on Oprah, the Today Show, Good Morning America. Everybody. They did a movie back in 2014 for one of my books. The book is called When Zizzy Gave Honey Boy. I don't have it here yet. Anyway, there used to be a TV series, Everyone Loves Raymond. And the woman that played the mother, Doris Roberts, played my aunt. Zizzy is the Neapolitan dialect for auntie. And the movie opens up. The guy playing me, Andrew Koss, is on the phone talking to the guy in the media and saying, yeah, you tell your producer that we're going to lose the Afghan war. This is when it started. I said this would happen. How dare you say that? You're either with us or with the terrorists. Lost the Afghan war. I called it. I said, if Alexander the Great couldn't pull it off, the British couldn't pull it off, the height of the British Empire, the Russians couldn't pull it off, they're right next to them joint, what makes you think the Americans are going to pull it off when they haven't won a war since World War II?
Yeah.
Don't tell me the truth. Buy the crap that we're shoving down your throat. We are the world. My father, when I used to get upset, may rest in peace, he said to me, son, don't get upset. People have little minds.
Yeah. I agree with everything you said, Gerald. And I'm as puzzled as you are by the complete lack of resistance. But I suppose it's partly explicable in terms of this is the culmination of decades, if not centuries, of conditioning, brainwashing, groupthink, isn't it? We've been taught how not to think. By the culture.
Oh, yeah. It's called the education system.
Yeah.
The Weimar Republic, you know, they learn how to read, write, do math, and follow orders at the beginning of the industrial age. Before that, people used to make their own things. Everybody had their little own businesses. Now we're industrializing. Don't follow orders. And that's what it is.
Yeah.
Brainwashing from I ran away from kindergarten at 4.5 years old across the Boston Post Road in the Bronx, which is the major artery between New York and Boston back in the day. Time to take a nap. I was taking naps every day. I wasn't tired. I'm sitting there. And Miss Rose says, Gerald, time to take a nap. And all the kids are laying down like this. So I lay down like that. The next day, she said, time to take a nap. She turned around. Poof, I was out of there. I went lay down. You know, she thought I was laying down. And I hated every day of school. I hated every day of school. I got left back in the fifth grade, barely got out of high school, only went to college to beat the Vietnam draft, went to the second stupidest school in America, you know, just to do it. I hated it. I hated it. All it is brainwashing. That's all it is.
Yeah.
You have to learn this, 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 and this. This is what you have to learn. Hey, but I really don't want to learn that. I'm not really good at math or biology or science. I'm more of an artist. I don't care what you are. You learn this. And I had a nun beat me up, perforated my middle ear, broke my eardrum. At 10 years old, I used to water ski in the Hudson River. I could never get my ears wet again. But as bad as it was, I'm just thankful Father Foley was a ladies' man. You know, it could have been a lot worse. Those Catholic priests did to these kids. Anyway, the whole system is screwed up, as are the religions. They had nothing to do with the foundation and the beliefs that were created before. It's just like the government. It's a crime syndicate.
Yeah. If I'd interviewed you 6 months ago, which, well, I probably wouldn't have bothered because I would have thought you were a complete nutcase. And of course, now, 6 months on, I agree with, you know, I've been down the rabbit hole. I agree with every word of what you're saying. But it must have been, I mean, if your dawning, your awakening was at the age of four or even earlier, it must have been quite a lonely place for you, knowing all this stuff when around you, this culture was just going, no, it's fine. The government is our friend and we pay our taxes and we get a mortgage and we'll settle down and have a happy future. And I get our kids, a place in college and everything will be okay. I mean, you must have been spitting.
Not really. I bought into the system as well, you know, as I got older. You know, I even voted for Richard Nixon. I was the assistant to the secretary of the New York State Senate at 26 years old. I was the number two guy running major political campaigns in Yonkers, New York, which is a city about 300,000 people, the mayoral campaign. Angelo Martinelli became the longest running mayor of the that's why they were grooming me. They sent me up to Albany. I designed and instructed American politics and campaign technology and taught it at St. John's University. I was the chief government affairs specialist for the chemical industry, a section of the chemical industry, killing environmental legislation at the height of the environmental movement back in the 1970s when the whole thing broke loose. At 28, I was staying at the Willett Hotel, putting my meetings on at the Hay Adams. Had pictures of me of presidents, prime ministers, and princes. I wouldn't know what I know if I wasn't on the other side.
Right. Yeah.
And but I believed it. I didn't really care. I just wanted to make money and, you know, and have a hot time. You know, can't do that anymore. Not allowed, you know. Yeah. But that's it. You know, I was but on my life side of the family, you know, we were taught to think for ourselves. And I'm a blessed guy from the parents and ancestors and aunts and uncles I came from. You know, it was party time. These were, you know, these are people that, you know, they were real fighters and people that believed in, you know, you believing in yourself. I get in a fight with my father and he'd say to me, you little bastard, you think I'm telling you what I'm telling you because I want you to be like me? I want you to become yourself. Could you imagine that? Now it's, you don't think like I think? How dare you not think like I think? I know exactly the way you should think. So bend over and take that vaccination.
Yeah. I'm going to come on to the vaccination in a moment, but I'm interested in your psychological journey or whatever, because I mean, as I say, I'm a recent convert to the cause of truth and light and understanding and et cetera. And I realized that I've been living in the matrix all my life. You know, I had a very conventional education, you know, private school, then Oxford. And, you know, I was part of the sort of the elite that is now busily destroying our world and crushing us. I was wondering what was... So you were originally on the wrong side, on the dark side, engaging with that process. What was it that changed you?
Actually, I wrote about it in this book, Trend Tracking, Far better than Megatrends, Time Magazine. I tell you, I was down in D.C. And the Iranian conflict started breaking out. And I'd been reading about how the United States, the CIA, and the MI6 overthrew the democratically elected government of Mossadegh in 1953 because he had the nerve to say that, no, it wasn't Anglo-Iranian oil or Standard Oil. It was the Iranian people's oil. It only came out in 2017, and the only newspaper that printed a report of it was the Financial Times, how Winston Churchill pushed the United States into joining them to have a coup attempt, or coup, against Mossadegh. And Kermit Roosevelt, Theodore Roosevelt's grandson, great-grandson, was with the CIA. They worked together to overthrow him. They overthrew him. They plucked a Shah out of southern France, brought him in. The SAVAK, the secret police. I'm reading about this, you know, as a young guy. They made the SS look good. The protests start breaking out in Iran, and millions of people are taking to the streets. They couldn't stop them. The way things become radicalized is when foreign countries become involved and try to stop them. That's how the movement became radicalized and the taken over by the religious part of it. Anyway, they're telling the Americans, pack up your crap and get out of here. Jimmy Carter, no, we're not leaving. He comes back on New Year's Eve. I'll never forget this. And he goes, visits the Shah. He and his wife had visited the Shah and his wife. They flew to Iran. He comes back. And in those days, it was a big deal when the president went overseas. You know, he gets out of the helicopter. The guys in military drags salute him. Goes to the microphones. And he announces that the Shah is the island of stability in the Middle East. In the Bronx, we used to have a saying, bullshit has its own sound. I knew this thing was going down. As everybody's learning to hate the revolutionaries that are trying to get rid of the Shah, I start thinking to myself, what are going to be the implications? And I realized that gold and oil prices would go up. Nobody, very few people back then were playing futures markets. And I'm a young guy, you know. I'm like, you know, 32 years old. And I started playing gold and oil futures. I parlayed a $5,000 bet into almost $750,000. And that's when I quit my job. I started growing up. I got a lot of stories about growing up with times I used to have in D.C. Whew, and the people I was hanging out with, the places I was going to. So I started, you know, seeing, you know, so what the hell am I doing here? And I started making, that's when I began the Trends Research Institute. Current events form future trends. And if you look at things the way they are and not the way you want them to be, you can see where they're going. But you have to make connections between different fields. And that's what I do. I call it a global nomic process, making connections between different fields. So if you're only looking at economics, no, you're not going to see what's going on in Iran, what the implications are going to be in on and on. Nobody was doing it back then.
Yeah.
So that's how I began. That was my awakening point, was right. That incident.
But in terms of, I mean, you mentioned the Federal Reserve. I always think that learning about the Federal Reserve and the creation of it is a sort of a useful point of entry for anyone who understands how the world really works and just how corrupt it is. I mean, America is a gangster enterprise, isn't it? It's not the land of the free, the home of the brave that we're taught in popular culture. It's like the Godfather.
It's a crime syndicate.
It's a crime syndicate. Yeah, yeah. So your story about Mossadegh and, you know, the CIA Churchill backed coup. I get all that. But when did you really see the world for what? I mean, when 9/11 happened, you didn't think for a moment it was a guy in a cave in you saw straight away. Presumably, you saw that, you felt the same way about the Kennedy assassination.
I have a photograph of me and John Connolly. That's the governor of Texas that sat in front of him.
Right.
That took the bullet in his back.
Yeah.
I have a photograph of me, John Connolly, and his wife, Nellie, in front of the book depository. 1992 was the first time back since the assassination.
Uh-huh.
And he wanted to meet me because in this book that came out in the late 1980s, I had forecast that there'd be a new third party and someone like Ross Perot would be the candidate. And this is 2 weeks before that election. So he wanted to meet me.
Right.
And, you know, we were parked out in front in the limousine where you see that, that's the side of the building. And he told the story what happened that day. And I didn't ask him who was behind it. But as I see it, it was a combination of the CIA, the Lyndon Johnson. You know, Kennedy was against the Vietnam War. He was against ratcheting the war up with Cuba. He had the Cuban Missile Crisis. He brought that to an end by making a deal with Khrushchev. And they didn't like him for that. You know, they wanted to get rid of him as a warmongers. Mm. You know, Dwight D. Eisenhower, 5-star president, supreme commander of the Allied forces in World War II, 2-term president, warns the American people that the military-industrial complex is robbing the nation of the genius of scientists, sweat of the laborers, and the future of the children. You know, so it's the government's controlled by 4 gangs, the Bankster gang, the military-industrial complex, drug dealers, which morons and imbeciles call Big Pharma, and big tech. That's it. They're in total control of the country.
Yeah.
There's no freedom. No freedom of speech. You can't say what you want on, as you well know, any of the channels, the social media channels. And when the whole internet began, those of us old enough to remember, oh, this is the place where you could say anything you want, do anything you want, be anybody you want. Oh, that was all it was about. It's gone. So, you know, when 9/11 happened, USA Today, when it was a big newspaper, used to run my top trends every year. And again, my top trends come out in December. So for December 2000, the headline read in USA Today, 2001 won't be our year, trendseer says. And I warned that a wave of anti-Americanism was sweeping the globe and Americans wouldn't be safe at home or abroad. So when 9/11 happened, everybody's calling me up. What happened? It's America's foreign policy. As if this thing was real at all. It's America. You can't keep killing people all over the world. Payback's a bitch, as we used to say in the Bronx. You like the Kosovo War, the Yugoslav War? No, I know. When you saw Madeleine Albright, the ambassador, the UN, U.S. ambassador to the United Nations on 60 Minutes telling Leslie Stahl, when Leslie Stahl asks her, are the sanctions that Bill Clinton put on Iraq that have killed over 500,000 Iraqi children under the age of 5 worth it? And Madeleine Albright says, yes, it was. Every time Clinton got caught with his pants down, bombs away in Iraq and any place else. The United States does it with Israeli policies against the Palestinians, on and on. Hmm. So, and again, talking about if there was, going back to Al-Qaeda, who was the guy that created Al-Qaeda? Oh, yeah. Jimmy Carter, along with that other scumbag that should rot in hell, Brzezinski, bringing in Al-Qaeda from Saudi Arabia to fight the Russians when they were in Afghanistan. Oh, that Jimmy Carter? Who created them? Who created it? How many alleged people on those planes was in Saudi Arabia that allegedly bombed or brought down the World Trade Center, hit the Pentagon? Oh, 15 out of 19? So I don't know the true story, but I know the facts. And the facts are, we'll never know the truth.
Yeah.
They're still holding back that fat mouth Trump that promised to release the intelligence information from the Kennedy assassination still hasn't done it.
Yeah, I was going to ask you.
He didn't do it. Nobody has.
I was going to ask you about Trump because I've veered between the two poles. You know, I was a massive fan throughout his presidency, thinking he was, yeah, he was sticking it to the libs. He was, you know, seemed pretty reasonable in a lot of his policies. But actually, I've come around to thinking that nobody gets to be US president without the approval of those, of that cabal that you describe, you know, the real power behind America, the deep state. And so presumably on some level, he's one of them. What tell me about your view on Trump. Is he a good guy, bad guy?
Well, you know, my magazine, the Trends Journal, was the first magazine to call him a winner in May of 2016, when everybody else said he would lose. Mm-hmm. The people were fed up with the establishment. Yeah. I knew his brother, Robert. I had lunch with him. I could go on with this. I know people on the inside, things going on. I know one day his brother, Robert, was on the phone with him. And guy that I know who knows him very well. And Robert said to him, why are you doing this? He got off the phone. He said to my friend, I don't understand why my brother did this. He had such a great life. Mm. He's an egotist. He's a narcissist. Dwight D. Eisenhower, who I mentioned, he said, any man, you could Google it up. Any man seeking the presidency is either an egomaniac or crazy. He's an egomaniac. He's a narcissist. We're the same age, me and Trump. When I was a kid and I get out of hand and they couldn't control me, they were a little bastard, we're going to send you to military school. Trump ended up going to military school. I'll be good. Yeah, I was going to go to military school. All right. My mother used to make sure I used to be, make my bed, a great Italian cook, had cars, girlfriends. I'm going to go to military school. It's right not far from where I am over here. I'm in Kingston, New York. It's down in Cornwall in the middle of nowhere. He went to military school, dressed up in military drag, eating crappy food and making sure he makes his bed just right. That's how narcissistic he was. They couldn't control him. He lied his way into office. He was going to build the wall. He built shit. He was going to fix the infrastructure. He didn't do anything. Hmm. He promised to change the tax laws. That he did. And 82% of the tax breaks went to the 1% of which he is. He's just like the rest of them.
Yeah. Yeah. So he was never our guy. He was never going to change anything.
No, he's in there for his ego.
Right. Yeah. Do you think, are we going to win this one in the end? I mean, you've said before, you know, about the Federal Reserve and stuff that without some form of revolution, we're going to be stuck with the same problem. But it seems now they're closing the doors.
Yeah, again, if we don't unite under one umbrella, we're done. I was a speaker in the beginning of September, Labor Day weekend in D.C. Ron Paul, not Rand Paul, Ron Paul, the father, and Daniel McAndrews, who they do the Liberty Report, they put on a meeting called The War on Us. Mm-hmm. And I was one of the speakers. Right after me was RFK Jr. This was about our loss of freedom. My talk was, we must unite. United we stand, divided we fall. If we don't all unite under one umbrella, we're finished. It has to be one cause. You go out and protest, they're worthless. Worthless. Again, I mentioned a protest in New York City in 1982. Caspar Weinberger, who was the defense secretary at the time, another piece of shit, may he rot in hell. Yeah, the Iran-Contra scandal. Oh, he gets a free ride out of it because he's a member of the club. Yeah, that guy. After the rally, he said, oh, yeah, it was very impressive that many people turned out. But they go home and it makes no difference. We're still going to do what we want.
Yes.
Words to that effect, you could look it up. So going back. So after I gave my talk, RFK Jr. gives his. This is a guy whose father was assassinated and his uncle was assassinated.
Yeah.
Walking off the stage and very emotionally, he said, I will fight to my death with my boots on. And that's what we're in. We're in the fight for our lives. I give the example. How did the Berlin Wall come down? And it came down peacefully. People came out. They didn't leave. More people came. They didn't leave. More people came. They didn't leave.
Yeah.
Day after day after day. Day after day after day. Until it was a massive, massive amount of people. And they outnumbered those little guys dressed up in military drag. 80,000 to one. Put down their armaments. Boop, the wall came tumbling down. To me, that's the only way to do it. And one of the things that I've done, and it's almost finished, it's all legal, is I started a church, the Universal Church of Freedom, Peace, and Justice. And to unite everyone of any religion, it's non-denominational, but any religion, if your God believes in freedom, peace, and justice. We have to unite under one umbrella and fight this. If we don't, we're finished. And we could beat these people. They're nobodies. They're nobodies. You look at who they are. Name the country. Look at that woman that just got the premier of New South Wales and Australia that just resigned.
Yeah.
Gladys, they call her, been jerking off. You look at her. You look at that little boy, Danny Andrews, over there. Little nothing of a clown. Again, Boris Johnson, Macron. Men? Men? What men? They're not men. As we'd say in the Bronx, you call these guys out man to man. They wouldn't know whether to piss or shit. And that's what we have to do. We have to fight these people. I'm a fighter. These aren't just words. I also had my own school. I taught close combat for a lot of years. You know, I grew up in the Bronx, a little kid. I'm the smallest kid. The bullies want to pick on me first. I learned how to fight right away. Didn't go home crying. Oh, now you have a no bullying zone. No bullying zone. It's a pussification of the world.
Yeah. Yeah. Ooh, sorry, let me get rid of that call. Hang on. Hello. Hello, darling, I'm doing a podcast. Can I ring? The mum's not here. I'll call you back. Bye. People always, Gerald, people always get really.
I don't carry a cell phone, by the way. I began doing work for the Cellular Telecommunications Industry Association back in the early 90s when they had these big things in the back of trunks with aerials. And I've been following radio frequency radiation since then.
Yeah.
And matter of fact, in our magazine about 2 months ago, we came out with another study. They only come out one day and they're out of the news about they were in France. They wouldn't allow children to have them for years because the brain tissue is thinner and the radiation goes in deeper. Yeah. On and on. Anyway, they just came out with a study that if you're on a phone for 17 minutes a day for 10 minutes, 17 minutes a day for 10 years, your chances of getting a brain tumor only increase by 60%. So I don't carry one.
Yeah.
You know, you want to get a hold of me, I'll get you when I'm there. You know, I carry one in my car or when I travel, so they pick me up at the, you know, gate number 7 or whatever, and that's it. But anyway, go on.
No, I'm with you. I hate using, I'm old school. I really find it tremendous imposition that people are able to call me when I'm walking around, when I'm on the train. I think, no, it is, I'm doing my thing. Leave me alone. Go away. But that's just me, I think. Rather, but you're right. I'm very suspicious of technology. I'm really.
Oh no! The facts are there. The facts are there. The facts are there. The scientific facts. Look, you know that the sperm count is going to go down near to zero, and these are facts.
Yeah.
In America by 2045.
Well, that's part of the plan, isn't it? I mean, it is ultimately about depopulation.
Again, you know, whether it's the plan or not. I mean, look at the people leading us. You know, I was on with George Gammon, a very bright guy. And he said to me, I've been reading a lot about the fall of empires. And there were three phases, but I remember the last one that he said. At the end of the empire, it's the weak leading the weak. And that's what we have.
Yeah.
Look at big tech. Can you imagine that little fucking Zuckerberg telling me what to do? Or a cook? Or that guy, boy, I forget his name. I always forget it. The guy with Google, pitch something, pitch shit, or whatever his name is.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, you're going to tell me what to do? Look at the people that are telling us what to do.
You're right.
Look at it telling us.
And you know, Zuckerberg wants to be Augustus. He wants to be Caesar Augustus. That's his model is. And you think, well, Caesar Augustus was actually quite talented, quite capable. And Zuckerberg, the idea that that man has so much power, I agree with you, is truly terrifying. Tell me.
Yeah.
Have you looked into 5G at all? Because.
Of course. We write about it in the magazine all the time.
It seems to have been sprung on us without nobody I know ever, nobody I've ever met has ever said what we need is 5G. It seems to have been imposed on us up above, regardless of whether we want this shit or not.
Again, they're imposing all their dictates on us to do what they're telling us to do now. There's no different. Yeah. Now, we've been writing about 5G for years in the magazine, the Trends Journal. And the deadly, reality of it.
What is the real purpose of 5G? Because it ain't to help us.
It's all they want to do is make money. They figure they can make more money like this, have more power. That's all it's about. I don't look at it as a big conspiracy theory. I just think of it, a lot of crazy people doing their shit. How about GMOs? How about all the pesticides they put on in our food? How about all the preservatives? How about all the chemicals that they dump on us?
Yeah, yeah.
It's about making money. They could give a shit. It's been going on for centuries.
I'm worried here, Gerald. I think I'm actually further down the rabbit hole than you are, which is a bit worrying. Because I do think it's deliberate. I don't think that it's just about making money. I do think that we are run by people who despise us, who actually want to harm us.
Oh, absolutely. They're psychopaths, sociopaths, pathological liars.
Yeah.
Again, it's what Eisenhower said.
Yeah.
Anyone seeking the office is either an egomaniac or crazy.
Yeah.
So you could put crazy, a lot of things fit under that umbrella.
Okay.
Yeah. And that's the people in charge. They could care less about us. They're power hungry freaks.
Yeah, and money hungry freaks. I get that. So look, let's talk about the vaccine, or I can't even call it a vaccine because it's not a vaccine. Let's talk about the thing they tell us is a vaccine. Where are you on that one? Have you had it?
No, there's no way I'm going.
Good.
Why would I get an Operation Warp Speed gene therapy jab that has never been injected into human beings before?
Yeah.
We just did a story in this week's Trends Journal. In this week's Trends Journal about, let me see if I have it here. A new study came out on these gene therapies. And let me see where it is here. They did this whole thing about the dangers of these gene therapy drugs. An article, and not out of a conspiracy theory place, but it came out of the Wall Street Journal. Where is it here? Forecast. About the gene therapy vaccination, the dangers of it. Here it goes. Gene therapy studies raise concern. And then we wrote, not a peep about COVID gene jab. They did this whole study it was in the Wall Street Journal last week. We detailed it in the magazine this week about all the dangers of these gene therapy vaccinations. Not one word in that whole article did they mention that the jab that they're giving the people now is a gene therapy jab. Not one word.
Yeah.
But the extreme dangers of them. This has never been tested. It was Operation Warp Speed. Rushed into market. And again, we write only the facts. Only the facts. Again, I got them all here. The 78% of the people in the United States, according to the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention, that have been hospitalized, suffering from obesity or type 2 diabetes. You look at Americans, 70% of them are overweight, 42% obese. Did you ever hear that expression, pigs can't fly? Go to the airport. They're flying everywhere.
Yeah.
Well, look at the crap they're eating. Not a word about building up your immune system and getting in good health. 94% of the people that die of the virus have 2.6 pre-existing comorbidities. Fact. People 1 to 19 years old, the chances of dying, the recovery rate, 99.997%, according to the CDC. Go back to the vaccination. Remember when they sold it to us? 96% efficacy rate. Oh, wait a minute. According to the Israeli Health Ministry, now it's down to, 39%. Oh, and you're going to only need two jabs? Now you need a booster jab, and you better get one every year.
Yeah.
Their drug deal is. End of story.
Yeah. I agree with that bit. I mean, yeah, obviously I do. I mean, how could one not? But a lot of almost everyone watching this podcast or listening to it is going to totally agree with you and say, yeah, go Gerald. But it's the people that read the mainstream media that worry me, because this stuff is not being reported. Now, do you have any confidence that this stuff, the dangers of the vaccines, the adverse reactions, or, you know, which you have a reporting system, and it seems to indicate there's lots of adverse reactions, and yet this story is being buried, ignored by the mainstream media. Do you have any hope that the truth is going to filter out to the people I would call the normies? What does your trend-setting brain tell you? No.
Again, I almost got in a fight about 3 weeks ago. There's a place here in Kingston called the Hutton Brickyard. It was an old brickyard. Kingston built a lot of New York City with brickyards all over. Now it's, prices went up here, one of the highest in the country. It's a beautiful area, foothills of the Catskill Mountains. This was the third Dutch settlement. Excuse me. Now this high-end hotel took over this place. It's a beautiful place. So I'm out there trying to chill out. The magazine, this week's magazine was 176 pages. It's a weekly. We're giving everything we can. So I go to relax. I run into this guy who's a lawyer. We're friendly, And not friends, but friendly.
Yeah.
Like I was at a restaurant and they had a little birthday party. I sent over a bottle of champagne. This kind of relationship.
Yeah.
Anyway, I start talking. I said, I'm really concerned about what's going on here with this. He said, what are you talking about? I said, we're losing all our rights. I said, I can't go into the city because I don't have a vaccine passport. I can't go into any restaurants. I can't go to any of these jazz clubs around here. I don't have a passport. He said, you're not vaccinated? I said, no. He said, why not? He said, these vaccines are they're as good as the polio vaccine, chicken pox, measles. I said, wait. I said, no. I said, no, they're not. And he said, besides, he goes, the efficacy rate is 93%. I said, well, you're wrong on both ends. I said, first of all, and I pull out my wallet and I put out a $100 bill. And I said, I'll bet you you're wrong on the efficacy rate. But let's go back to what you said about chicken pox and the other thing. He said, no, I want to talk about that. I said, no. I said, you're an attorney. I said, let's just stay on the facts. Again, this is a guy I know. I'm talking this just like I'm talking to you now. He said, I feel like punching you out. And I said, come on, you little bastard. Let's go outside. Who the hell do you think you're talking to? Come on outside. And he has this big girlfriend comes between us. I said, don't you ever talk to me like that. He goes, sits at the bar. I said, you little fucking coward. I said, you got a big mouth, man. You talk to me like that outside, I'll show you who you're talking to. He sat down. He said, you're a coward. You're a coward, and I won't take your crap. So don't try to shove it on me. And as he looks down. I'm mentioning this because that's what's going to happen. The people that have gotten vaccinated, the people that have bent over and taken it, the cowards that have done it are going to want you to do it. Just like they did during the communist times when they ratted everybody out for not doing what they were told. The same thing is going to happen. The vaccinated are going to be fighting against the unvaccinated.
Yeah.
We are stupid, the unvaccinated. We are ignorant, the unvaccinated. We are idiots, the unvaccinated. Why, I got comedians telling me that. I got a basketball players telling me that. I got prostitutes telling me that. What am I, stupid? Hey, I put out a magazine every week, only the facts. Only the facts, and I'll go up against anybody with the facts. They don't care about the facts. They have no soul. They have no fight. They have no passion. They have no dignity, and they lack self-respect. Heil Hitler, march off to Mussolini and salute Stalin. Every German I know, every one of them, were ashamed of themselves.
Yeah.
For letting him destroy their country and destroy their lives. Berlin was grander than Paris before it got bombed out. Where were the people? Why didn't they stop it before it ended? One place after another, destroyed. The people didn't fight back, and they're not fighting back now.
Yeah. Yeah, this is not the message of optimism, and we can do it. I was kind of hoping for, Gerald.
No, we can do it, but we have to unite. We have to unite.
Sure.
We have to, in every country. I wanted to get, I'm not going to go into, but guy was running for mayor that I know, blah, 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 blah. And I said, we got to get about 10,000 people, go in front of City Hall, chain ourselves there, not leave, and tell this guy, we're, again, Declaration of Independence, we are in charge, not you.
Yeah. Yeah.
No, well, I don't think we should do that. All right, see you later, man. I got to go.
What?
But we can win. I'm a pro at this. I used to teach American politics and campaign technology at St. John's University.
Yeah.
How these protests and elections are won and lost. I know how to do it. I used to run major political campaigns. Yeah. No. I have a printing business. I know what to do. I got a clothing store. I know what to do better than you do. All right. I'm a lawyer. I know everything. I know how the game is played. I've been there.
Yeah.
Again, I was an assistant to the secretary of the New York State Senate, the guy that runs the whole show, sitting with the governor, the majority leader, you know, eating shrimp cocktail in my Robert Hall suit. So I've been there. Again, with presidents, prime ministers, and princes.
Mm-hmm.
You can beat them, but you have to know what you're doing and how to do it. And that's what's stopping us from doing it.
So, okay. Well, just give me the 101 and how to resist. You take to the streets and you don't go away. You stay there.
Don't go away. Don't go away. You're not going to tell us what to do. You're not going to tell us what to do. You're not going to tell us what to do. You're not going to tell us what to do.
Yeah.
Come over here, man to man, and tell me what to do.
Yeah.
You're not going to tell us what to do. I was not put on this earth to take orders from you. Get that in your head.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, look, I think you and I are prepared to die with our boots on. I think there's a few others out there.
There are a lot of us. It does not take a majority to prevail, but rather an irate, tireless minority, keen on setting brush fires of freedom in the minds of men, said Samuel Adams.
Yeah.
We are that irate, tireless minority.
Yeah. I get that. People wanted me to ask you before we go back to the encroaching tyranny, where are you on gold at the moment? Do you think Bitcoin has ruined gold?
Well, Bitcoin, definitely. The cryptocurrencies have taken the energy out of gold and silver without a question.
Yeah.
And, you know, we hit now as we're speaking, like Bitcoin's hitting near 55,000, 54,000.
Yeah.
And if it stays over this level, we see it climbing. The only thing we keep saying over and over and over and over and over again is that the only thing that'll bring them down is the governments. That's it. Other than that, they're going to keep going. And Bitcoin being the strongest of them. And gold and silver, there's still going to be a place for it. But again, I'm not making this up. They're rigging the markets. JP Morgan Chase got fined, $900 million for rigging the precious metals markets in 2019. They finally got fined after rigging them for years.
Yeah.
When gold and silver prices skyrocket, the people will know how bad things are. I still am very positive on gold and silver, and I don't give financial advice. I'm only telling you what my...
Yeah, where you are. Yeah, sure.
And where I put my money. I put them in cryptos and in gold and silver. Inflation is going to continue to skyrocket.
Yeah.
You're looking at inflation rates. In Turkey, it's almost like 40% now. They're coming out. Their fake number is about 20%. Mm-hmm. The currencies keep going down. It keeps costing you more to buy things. And that's going to happen everywhere. Inflation, they lied about the Federal Reserve saying inflation wouldn't go up. They said it was only temporary. They know it's going to go up.
Yeah.
They've been saying that because they're going to raise interest rates. When interest rates go up, everything collapses. All the cheap money flow stops. So gold is going to go down temporarily as it is, and silver, because interest rates are going up, the value of the dollar is going up. But when everything crashes, that's when gold is going to skyrocket, as I see it. And I think they're doing the same thing under the Biden administration that they did under the Reagan administration, under Volcker, with the Fed. And that is that they raised interest rates to stop inflation, brought the economy down. And then before the election, boop, they dropped the inflation numbers, the interest rate numbers really quickly, boost the economy. And then you have, I'm the president and look how great the economy is going. Mm-hmm. So they're going to bring it down now, but they'll bring it up before the election. Meantime, inflation is going to keep going up.
Yeah. Yeah. I see. Yeah. Well, but you're bullish on crypto unless the authorities find a way of killing it. Can they do that?
Yes, yes, yes. Particularly Bitcoin.
Yeah.
And even when the authorities do it, there's still going to be that Bitcoin club, but it's not going to be as powerful.
So what, I mean, apart from hell,
Let me just go back to that.
Sorry.
The other thing, too, is that all the currencies are going to go digital.
Yes.
They're going to do away with paper money and coins.
Are you talking about central bank digital currency?
China's already doing it. And this way, they know every penny you spent, where you spent it, how you spent it, so they can get their money and taxes so they don't have to work. And, you know, that's because they never work, these politicians. So they're going to know every penny that you spent.
Sure.
So they're not going to want the competition when it goes digital.
Well, I agree. Well, that is the battle, isn't it? I mean, that is why we cannot have vaccine passports. It's why, because that is the route to central bank digital currencies, which at that point, it's game over for all our freedoms. So we have to resist. Yep. But look, I mean, I now keep asking you, but I mean, this is your job. Are we going to win? I don't want to know, can we win? I want to know, are we going to win? What is your gut tell
you? I don't know if we are. No, only if we unite. If we don't unite, we don't win. United we stand, divided we fall. I didn't make that line up.
No, you didn't. Yeah. But do you not Do you share my concerns that look, we haven't even got onto the engineered food shortages yet? I mean, you must be all over those. The coming induced starvation.
Look, I don't know, but I'm very sad what's going on. I cry. When I gave my talk at Ron Paul's War on Us event, I had the people laughing and crying because I was crying because I'm a visionary. I see the future and it's hell on earth. So, of course, my heart is broken. You have no idea how sad I am.
Yeah.
You think I want to be this angry? You know, like we're laughing and joking and having a great time. You think I'd rather do that? So, yeah, I see the future and it's hell on earth unless we change it.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah. I'm totally with you. It really is that simple. It is that binary. If we don't resist, it is over for everything. And I wish more people would realize that. It's extraordinary how people have been acting like they've been in a kind of dream state. They're like,
again, you don't need them. Yeah, James, you don't need them. When the American Revolution happened, less than 5% supported it.
Yeah.
At the height of the revolution, it was under 50%. Again, I don't put my energy into them. I only want to unite us. Again, it does not take a majority to prevail, but rather an irate, tireless minority keen on setting brush fires of freedom in the minds of men.
Mm.
I don't put my energy there. I don't care about them. I'm not dealing with them. Again, like my father, may rest in peace, say, son, take it easy. Most people, you know, people have little minds. You don't deal with them.
Yes. I'm finding that actually increasingly that I've just got no time to talk to the people who don't get it. I just, what have I got to say to them?
Nothing.
It's just a waste of, like, I've been invited to this party, you know, in London. And I'm thinking, why would I go and have conversations with people who are living in this fantasy world? I have nothing to say to them. I mean, it's been a real,
Exactly. But,
yeah.
Because again, you don't waste your energy with it. It's a waste of energy.
Out of interest, what's it like in New York? I mean, you say you can't go to restaurants.
I want to get out of here. I want to get out of here. I'm looking to go to Florida in the winter because I can't stand it here.
You need Snake Plissken to get you out. I don't know if you've seen that film, Escape from New York. Well, can you get to Florida? Is that possible?
Yeah, I think I'm gonna spend a couple of months down there this year, and then I'd like to spend some time in Italy, but I can't because I don't have a passport, a vax passport. I want to spend that in the summer, but I can't stand it here anymore. I loved it here. I'm in Kingston, New York. I own three of the most historic buildings in America. It's on the most historic four corners. I own three of them. The only place in America with pre-Revolutionary War stone buildings. I have the beautiful, beautiful properties here. I loved it here. That's why I hold my rallies. The Franz Rogan House, 1750, at the 1774 Academy, the first schools of America with John Vandalin, famous Hudson River painter, went to school. That's my building. The 1763 Dr. Jensen House. And again, beautiful, beautiful, beautiful properties right in the center of the city. And I want to get out of here because I can't stand the energy anymore.
If what are property prices doing at the moment? I mean, could you get
they're off the charts. Way up.
Right. Interesting.
Off the charts. Again, the prices in Kingston went up one of the most highest in the country.
So
we're 90 miles north of New York City on the Hudson River. The Catskill Mountains are right here. You know, this was the first capital of New York State. It was the third Dutch settlement. There were more pre-Revolutionary War buildings here than anywhere else in America.
But you see, there you are, Gerald. You're a proud New Yorker. And I, as an Englishman, have spent my whole life watching movies, reading books, which celebrate New York as this kind of indomitable place where, you know, everyone's proud and all these cultures mixing and New Yorkers don't take any shit from anyone. And I'm seeing the city rolling over and dying before a pussy like...
Dead.
Yeah.
Gone.
That's what
I'm out here and I meet people. I meet people, I go up in, we're 90 miles north of New York. I go, oh, where are you from? They go, we're from New York, meaning that they're down the city. Yeah. So as an old Bronx guy, I don't say to him, I would have said, screw you. You're from New York. That's what New York's become. They're not New Yorkers anymore. They're gone. They're gone. I'm the last of the generation. I'm it. It's finished.
Sure. Do you think that, I mean, one shouldn't sort of gloat about this, but are you familiar with ADE reactions and all the problems with vaccines and spike proteins? And,
of course.
And so on?
Of course.
So
of course.
Do you not share my suspicion that there's going to be a lot of deaths this winter of people which are going to be blamed blamed on us, blamed on the unvaccinated?
Oh, well, I say to them, what are you worried about? You're vaccinated, so you're safe. So why are you bothering me?
Yeah.
No, they're going to. No, this thing is, like I said, looks like the Palestinians are going to get back Israel.
Well, because
that's one of the most vaccinated countries in the world.
Yeah. I get that. But given that I know, presumably you know too, that this is not about public health. The vaccine is merely a route to social control via the central bank digital currency system and so on. Given that that is so, we're not going to have any kind of new medical facts which suddenly emerge, which show that after all, the coronavirus isn't as bad as we thought it was and that blah, 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 because they're not interested in facts or truth or any kind of reality. It's all part of the closing down of our world by the elite.
What'll happen is when all else fails, they take you to war.
And
that's my greatest concern.
With China?
Oh, China, there's no way. There's no way. Yeah, China, Americans couldn't beat Iraqis or the Afghanistans. You know, they're going to beat China. Nobody's going to beat China.
Okay, so who
China wipe out the world. I don't know what the war will be. You know, people forget that prior to 9/11, the dot-com bust happened. We forecasted in our magazine, the Trends Journal, the October 1999 issue, dot-com bust by the second quarter of 2000. Boop, busted March of 2000. Bush gets elected. He takes office in 2020. In 2001, the NASDAQ was down 66%. We're in a deep recession. All of a sudden, 9/11, Afghan war. Boom. Everybody forgot about it. Then they had the big phony real estate bubble. Same thing's going to happen. This economy and the global economy is going to crash so hard like we've never seen before. When all else fails, they take you to war, whatever country it might be, whoever they started against. Go back, look what's going on in Turkey right now. Erdogan is way down in the polls. Every time he goes down in the polls, he does something to start something. Hmm. Inflation skyrocketing. The lira is at an all-time low. He'll get them people's minds off and starting something with Syria, going after the Kurds, whatever he may invent. Whatever they invent, they'll invent.
Yeah. Yeah.
So that's my greatest concern, because this war, you mentioned China, when they asked Albert Einstein, a guy that knew a little bit about, the atomic bomb, what weapons will be used to fight the Third World War? They asked him. He said, I don't know, but they'll be using sticks and stones to fight the fourth. Well, that's my greatest concern.
Thanks, Mr. Cheerful. Yeah, but I'm with you. I'm with you. I think that could be a very plausible next step.
They do it all the time.
So
every time economies go down, go back to World War I.
Okay.
Go back to World War II. Oh, wait, what World War II followed the Great Depression? Oh, you son of a gun.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So apart from buying gold and crypto, what can we do to prepare for all this?
Get in the best shape you can, physically, emotionally, and spiritually. You're in the fight for your life. And become self-sufficient as much as you can.
Yeah.
And prepare for the worst. You prepare for the worst. If the worst didn't happen and you're prepared for it, you lost nothing.
Yeah.
If the worst happens and you're not prepared for it, you could lose everything. Yeah. I'm going to tell you a quick story. before we go. 9/11 happens. I'm watching the news, CNBC. The guy goes, well, they say a plane hit the World Trade Center. But, you know, let's not go overboard on this. You know, we're going to go down there and we'll be back in a little bit. Whoop, they flash down to World Trade Center. The reporter's down there. And I'm watching it. Perfectly beautiful day out. And I used to do a lot of hot air ballooning in those days. So I know heights and, you know, flying. I said, how the hell did a plane hit on a day like today? If anything hit that thing, it was on purpose. This is going in my mind. Hmm. I'm watching the thing. All of a sudden, shoom, you see that thing happen. Boom. First thing I did, I picked up the telephone. And I called my girlfriend at the time. I was living in Rhinebeck, New York, which is right across the river here from Kingston, Marie-Pierre. And Marie-Pierre's brother, Francois, was the left shoulder of Jacques Chirac in Mitterrand. And my close combat teachers used to go out to Palais Elysée and work out with these guys. I called Marie-Pierre up. She lived in a place called Tivoli, not far from me. I said, Marie-Pierre, plane just hit the World Trade Center. Go to the bank and get your money out of the bank. Gerald, you're kidding. I said, no, I'm not kidding. Get your money out of the bank. They say the planes are going down the Hudson River. I know this inside out, the Hudson River. There's a thing called Indian Point, which is a nuclear power plant. That's about 40 miles, 35 miles north of New York City. Say they're going down the Hudson River. If this thing hits that nuclear power plant, poof, we're going to see chaos like we've never seen in our lives. I had my money in CDs in those days. You used to get interest on your money before the banksters gave you zero or negative interest rate policy. And I called the guy up, and it was in the bank. I said, I want my money transferred to the Rhinebeck Bank. The guy said, I'm sorry, Mr. Salenti. Wall Street is closed, and certificates of deposit are traded on Wall Street. Got it. I go to the bank. In those days, I had my gold in safety deposit box, which I don't do anymore. I have it in another location, far from where I am, but close enough to get it. And I take my gold, went to the gas station, bought Jerry jugs, filled them up, the gas jugs, 5 gallons, piled them in my car, got my gun, gold, and a getaway plan to go to Canada, which is about 4.5 hours from me, to take back routes. They had maps in those days. So that's what I did. I had my guns, gold, and a getaway plan, because if they hit that nuclear power plant, there's going to be chaos like we've never seen before. They're going to close down the roads, not let anybody escape out of the main roads. So I'm taking the back roads. I packed one little thing up my back with winter, silkwear, because in case it got cold at night, it was still September. Again, the guns, gold, and a getaway plan. Well, everybody's freaking out about 9/11. I knew this something like this was going to happen. I was prepared for it.
Yeah.
So I lost nothing by being prepared. If the worst happened and you weren't prepared, you lose everything.
Yeah. Before we go, I want to ask you one last question. You mentioned at the beginning about the demonic element to all this. You said you didn't know whether it was demonic. I mean, are you a religious man? Because the events of the last 18 months have turned me much closer to God. I understand that this is a battle between good and evil, and that ultimately God is going to save us. Where are you on that?
I absolutely pray to God to direct me, help me. And this wonderful woman, Eve, that passed away recently, used to talk to me about that all the time and send me things. So yes, I believe in the much higher spirits, and I ask them for guidance. As far as traditional religions, not the Catholic Church to me, as a guy that grew up Catholic, it's a disgrace.
Yeah,
it's
especially the current Pope, who is a joke. I mean, he's definitely
they're a disgrace.
Yeah, yeah.
And again, what the nuns did to me, what the priests are doing, oh, Christ would have loved it, huh? Yeah, Christ would have loved you beating up kids and screwing them up. The religions, name the religion, I have no faith in any of them. I believe in the higher level of what their gods they believed in, taught. not what the traditional establishment ones tell us to do. Sure. But I definitely believe it's much higher. Yes, yeah. And I pray for God's help every day to guide me and direct me.
Great. Well, Gerald, thank you so much for being on the Delling Pod. May I remind my beloved listeners and viewers that you can support me on Patreon and Subscribestar, and it's really appreciated because freedom isn't free, and neither ought to be my podcast. We're all in this together. We've got to support one another. Gerald, thanks a lot. It's been really great speaking to you at last.
And thank you, James. And for anybody that wants to subscribe to the Trends Journal, there's no magazine that comes close to it in the world. And I say that, if you could show it to me, let me see it. Trendsjournal.com at the grand total of $2 a week. You buy the toilet paper record, the New York Times is $3 a day for a bunch of crap. You're getting this for $2 a week. Trendsjournal.com.
Great. Thanks a lot, Gerald. Show me how it's done. Show me how to advertise your product in a professional way, which is why you're so much richer than me. Well done. Right. Bye-bye.
Okay, man. Thanks a lot.
Thanks a lot.
All the best.